VNG, I hear your radio check. Didn't quite get your call sign.
KY4Q1 radio check.
MKD2VNG, I hear ya.
KG4LSL.
Marcel, KD2VNG, how's it going?
Sitting down here in the studio. Got a couple of new shad patterns that I've been working on, and that's what we're doing. We're working on shad patterns today. What you got doing?
Not much. Is it my imagination, or is it getting gotten very cold these past couple of days? I've been just huddled around trying to keep warm.
Cooler. Feels almost like snow. Yep, I said it. The S word. I just hope it happens.
In the winter before, we actually had measurable amounts of snow. I mean, more than the usual snow around here, which is a half-inch dusting that, like, disappears by mid-afternoon.
Next year, because my wife had just started her job in Greenville, and she was driving back and forth to Westminster, and the roads out there in Westminster were ice. So she ended up driving back to Atlanta and living in the camper in my driveway, getting the house ready to be sold. Yeah, it was interesting.
4QM radio check. KY4QM radio check.
Yes, KD2BNG.
Yeah, and this is number what, 10, 12 in the past 15 minutes. KG4LSL.
KY4QM radio check.
You hear me now.
KY4Q in this unit.
Went on the repeater.
Actually need one. It's the only one that doesn't have one.
You're right.
Very old equipment that has no tone generator. And I just started looking through my list of repeaters and, like, you know, to get into about, let's see, out of 25 repeaters, like, within 50-mile radius, I think all but seven of them need a tone to get in. So that's more the requirement now than the exception.
5-4-QM.
There is actually a tone on the output. There's an 88.5, the 88.5 tone, I think, on the output. And why, I don't know. Maybe just so you don't hear the other repeater. There's another 610 repeater in Tennessee or maybe North Carolina. And very rarely you'll hear their traffic or they hear our traffic or whatever.
What's wrong with his radio? I think he said he was using any tone or something like that. And so if he's got his tone squelch on, then this repeater's not going to break his tone squelch unless he has it set up correctly. I even suggested that he go and read the manual and make sure he's got it set up correctly.
Well, squelch enabled, it's not going to matter, is it? I guess if you have it enabled, then you have the wrong tone. I guess that would matter. But yeah, I mean, you don't have to have it set. I have it set here on this radio, I think. Or maybe I don't. I don't really recall.
Worked repeaters, the repeater that I worked or that I hung out on in Atlanta back years and years ago, it had a tone squelch on it as well. And I think I used it once and it became aggravating, so I just turned it off, and I've never used tone squelch since. I mean, they have their place, so if you need it, use it. If you don't need it, don't.
Yeah, has its place where I have multiple groups of users that, intentionally or not, might be sharing the same channel. For example, there's 20 stores at the shopping mall that are using, radios, and there's only like 4 or 5 channels. So, you know, if we each have different tone squelches, you know, obviously the Apple iPod store doesn't care that the food court is out of Coca-Cola syrup, and the bookstore doesn't care that the Gap is out of size 12 jeans. So that's where the tone squelch would come in. You know, if everyone is on a different frequency and squelch, they should be a problem.
Exactly. Oh, well, what do you do? Everything, Bell's been going okay for you, brother?
I had such a headache this past couple of... Well, not so much my headache as maybe my neck and shoulder. I mean, I had to take one of Deborah's leftover little morphine pills last night, and I had to take another one early this morning. But, you know, I seem okay now. The stuff that seems to work is the powdered aspirin, you know, the BC or goodies or whatever, headache powder. So it's just, yesterday was a bad pain day all around. Today is better. I just have, you know, I think I told you this. I don't know if it's, it could be fibromyalgia, could be MS, could be CFS, could be a lot of things. Actually, MS would have gotten a lot worse by now, so I don't think it's that.
Remember us having that conversation, for sure. And, you know, there was a front moving through yesterday. I'm going to tell you, yesterday, I was all stoved up. I was just hurting. It was bad towards the end of the evening. I could hardly even walk around. And excuse the bedings you hear back there. I've got one of my pool teammates messaging me back and forth. Yeah, I think the front moving through yesterday just had me all kinds of messed up.
5-4 QM radio check.
Doubled with me.
Just toward the...
KY-4 QM radio check.
Yeah, you know, I might have arthritis, too, on top of everything else. I think when you get in your 50s, 60s, whatever, we all get arthritis.
KY-4 QM radio check.
KY4QM. Now you're starting to key up on people and everything else. If you can't hear anything that's going on the repeater, quit keying it up. I just about lost it.
Let's see. What happens if I switch power back to 5 or 10 watts?
Y4QM radio check.
QM. Now this is starting to get ridiculous. Glenn and I are trying to carry on a conversation, and you obviously don't have anything to add to said conversation. Please, move off frequency if you want to do radio checks somewhere else.
Sometimes getting through on this repeater as it is. This is the 5-1
radio check.
So if this does it for you, let me know. There's probably noise.
I looked this guy up on QRZ, and supposedly he's an extra, and I'm now recording, and I'll just send it to the FCC. I'm over it.
He's recording. Recordings is already there. You know how to get them, right?
I know that you've got my my contact information. I would love to get that information.
I might have your contact information.
You're going to have to go back up to full power, Glenn. I think he's sitting underneath the repeater somewhere.
Yeah, this is one of those commercial radios. There's 5 watts or 45 watts. There's no intermediate.
Been up to high power, too, but being so far away from the repeater, I don't know. I don't know if it would do any good or not.
Any further than you are, I think, according to repeater book, I'm like 48 miles from the repeater.
That's pretty close to how far away I am from it, up on Caesar's Head. That's pretty close to the distance from Anderson.
This with, here's an ICOM IC2GAT with the rubber duck antenna. So I think it's 7 watts at the antenna. I've actually gotten in there with this.
Good with it, especially on a ducky.
I was just saying that for an example. Now I have to go inside and look for the right place to stand, and it's a bit too cold to go outside.
One leg up and the opposite arm down and almost stand on your head.
Somebody heard me. So, you know, if they heard me, it was working. Yeah, I got a whole bunch of 2-meter handhelds here. I don't really know why, but, you know, I guess they're useful to have.
They say it's better to have them and not need them than need them and not have them.
There's, you know, there's always more radios. Yeah, I got this one. I've got two. This is actually part of, I guess, a pair. Yeah, there's like two identical Midland radios. They look identical. This one's the VHF one. Sitting right on top of it's the UHF one. I think that's about all I got for 70 centimeters, other than the other handheld.
Yaesu FT-100 HF VHF mobile that's been Mars modded and opened up for UHF. And I've never worked a UHF repeater. I don't know if it was something that I was doing wrong or what it was. But I actually used that radio as a fire service radio in South Georgia when I was in the fire service and had my truck. All we had was a little Motorola handheld. So I had our repeaters plugged in to that FT-100. And I've got an old Radio Shack HTX-212 here for VHF that actually still works. I was quite shocked. Hopefully, here pretty soon, I'll be able to go and get my Tentec Omni-D back from a friend of mine and may even start using it on HF something.
One thing about those old Motorola radios is I think they're almost indestructible. I think I told you about when I was contracting at Motorola in the late 1990s. In Plantation, Florida, in a display case, there was this... it was an early IDEN radio, if you remember IDEN, if you remember Nextel, the Nextel IDEN radio, and it was one that had been through a forest fire. The case and the keyboard had got a bit singed, but supposedly they took out the motherboard, put it in another case, and it works just fine. So I guess they had that there as a tribute to their engineering.
Old Motorola field radios were freaking indestructible. I absolutely loved the old bricks. The one that I had, and actually it was not a Motorola, it was a newer model Kenwood, and this was back in the early 2000s. And the reason why I'd gotten that one is because my Motorola brick had just finally, it just kicked the bucket. I think something happened with the antenna and it fried the finals in it because the radio wouldn't receive or transmit or do anything. But, you know, they were from the early 80s when they first got them. But I like the old Motorola better than I like the newer Kenwoods. KG4 LSL.
KD2BNG. Well, as I said, this is one of like a matched pair. The UHF Midland radio is the one I pulled out of a taxi cab. I got a bunch of 70 centimeter, there's a couple of 70 centimeter repeaters in this area. I think I've got at least 20 or so programmed in there. I haven't really, there's not a whole lot of activity except on one of them. But yeah, that's the one, the UHF Midland radio, and the VHF Midland radio looks identical. And, The other thing about them is there's supposed to be an 8, a 32, and a 128-channel version. I discovered, almost by accident, they're all 128-channel. You've got to do some creative code plug editing.
That is awesome. Yeah, they just don't make stuff like they used to. My question is how is VHF sideband up here? Do you know if it's used very much? Because I've got, like I said, that FT-100 has got sideband for VHF and all of HF, and I've always wondered how sideband on 2 meters would be.
1 meters, or maybe also even on the bottom of 70 centimeters. I have no idea. I've never used it. Don't really have any equipment that will. Every time, you know, once in a while, I'll see, I'll go to eBay and I'll see someone has a, 2 meter all mode, whatever. Not really a mode that I've played with.
Especially with this copper J pole that I've got up, it's sitting about 40 something feet up in the air. And I'm on top of kind of a little hill up here at the house, so I think it would be a lot of fun. I've got a beam in the workshop out there, and I've got a couple beams. I've got a 2 meter and a 10 meter. Just don't have a rotator for it.
Copper J pole, probably like the one I made. Yeah, $10 worth of copper tubing. You got a reasonably good antenna. You know, some copper tubing, some elbows, whatever. You know, mine looks like Guido the Alcoholic Plumber soldered it together. But, you know, as long as it works.
Who cares what it looks like as long as it tastes good, right?
I'm like one of those MasterChef shows. I used to like that show, and I'll tell you which one I liked. There was that MasterChef Kids show. You know, the kids like 9 or 10 to like 13, 14 years old. These kids were at a level where even right now they could go cook at like the Four Seasons. You know, they were that good. Yeah, I used to enjoy that show sometimes. And yeah, I guess how it looks is kind of also important there. But other than that, you're right. As long as it's, you know, it's food. I don't care what it looks like.
The same at the end. Yeah, those the MasterChef, the kids shows. I love getting into the kids shows like that. Incredible talent out there that, you know, really has not ever been so celebrated as it is now. And I think the kids are getting smarter for the most part.
Now I imagine in a few cases these are like latchkey kids that had to make do and teach themselves cooking and housekeeping, but, you know, I don't think it was that as much as, you know, they actually did really always want to become chefs. You know, I knew from the time I was 6 years old I wanted to cook in a fancy restaurant. But yeah, I've seen that show a couple of times, and a lot of them were very, very, very good.
Very refined palates. They're knife skills. I mean, some of these kids that you're talking about, they make me look like I just threw one of those microwavable frozen dinners in the microwave and just cooked it.
I think are limited to, well, I haven't severely injured myself. Yeah, that's the other thing, is I've been getting more clumsy lately. So I wouldn't want to try to do too much fancy slicing and dicing of things. You know, I've got the little tiny food chopper. That works very well. But, yeah, I'm going to either cut my finger off or burn the place down one day if I'm not careful.
For license identification and preservation purposes. I enjoy it. I love to cook. Always have. When I was first starting out, I tried to make macaroni and cheese out of the blue box one time and ended up making a new kind of super glue. I think we ended up throwing the pan away. It was not pretty. But I have since improved.
mac and cheese mixture in the box. What is that good for? Maybe making wallpaper paste? I had a few recipes to do mac and cheese from scratch. It's a little bit of a bother, but not that hard. Now, some of the frozen mac and cheese dishes come out pretty good. And oddly enough, and I've noticed this about other products, you know, a lot of times the grocery store product, like the one that was made for, let's say, Food Lion, a lot of the times those are just as good or better, and they're probably cheaper. I've noticed that with a lot of, the grocery store brands. So I usually don't even bother with the name brands. And if the name brands are so good, you know. but, yeah, you know, I cook sometimes when I'm frustrated. And, well, I guess that means there's a lot of food here. But, you know, I've sort of learned.
I love to cook as well, and I've got my smoker out there that I used to use on average 4 times a day. I haven't used it in a while. I need to do that. And I've got a seafood mac and cheese recipe that is absolutely phenomenal. And, every time I make it, it doesn't last very long at all. So, if you ever want that recipe, I can give it to you, too. It's very easy to make. When you're 9 years old and you're wanting some macaroni and cheese and your parents aren't home, they're at work, and there you go. You make the Kraft super glue, as it was.
I mean, the mixture in a box is just bloody awful, though, even if you cook it correctly. Mac and cheese recipes are easy to find online. The thing I usually use is if you can't, instead of butter or milk sometimes, put sour cream. You can make a lot of substitutions that switch one ingredient for another generally comes out even better.
Spices and seasonings, that always does pretty well for me as well.
I have to work on this so I get it consistent, but I can tell you that the sauce for the Chinese spare ribs, I used to love that. The Chinese restaurant takeout spare ribs, it's not that difficult to marinate, but, it seems to come out wildly inconsistent, so I have to, keep doing it until I standardize it.
Practice is the key. Well, Glenn, I'm going to jump off of here. It's getting close to net time, so I'm going to sit back. I'm about to start laying down some colors. I've already got my base primer and my pearl out and got it laid down, and I've got a little bit of time here before I have to do more mixing. See if I can lay down a couple of colors and get it heat set for net starts. We'll catch you later on. I'll be on probably some tomorrow, some the next day, some the next day. I don't know. 73, sir, KG4LSO.
4LSL, KD2VNG. Okay, 73. Yeah, we got the net coming on in about 17 minutes. So I'll let you go back to whatever you were doing, and we'll talk to you later.